energy. So praise God. Get your Bibles out this morning, or your iPads or phone or however. Get the handout this morning. We've been talking about being winners, overcomers. And then 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, it says, whatsoever is born of God, 1 John 5:4 says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. So whatever is born of God does what? Overcomes the world. And this is the victory which overcometh the world, our faith. Our faith. We've been talking about this last couple Sunday mornings, and I'm going to get into some things today. And look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3 there at the top of your handout. It says, it is by faith that we understand. By faith we understand that the universe of the world was created by God's word. So that what we can see or can be seen was made out of what cannot be seen. It's by faith that we understand that the universe, the world, was created by God's word. So that what we, or what can be seen, was made out of what cannot be seen. So that makes a reference to the natural world that we see with our natural eyes, and the spiritual world that we do not see with our natural eyes, and that the natural world that we see was made out of what we don't see, the spiritual world. And God, who is spirit, God, who is spirit, created the worlds that we see how? By his word. We could go back to Genesis chapter 1, and we'll go back to towards the end of the service this morning. But in Genesis 1, it says that he said, let there be what? Light, and light was. Light was. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, Jesus said this. He answered the serpent, he answered Satan when he's being tempted. He said, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone. And usually what we read is we read that we live by the word of God. But that's not what it says here. It says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Every word. The word of God, but it's specific here. It's the word rhema. It's the spoken word. But every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The word proceed means to go forth. And the word there, Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, comes from the Greek word rhema, R-H-E-M-A, and it means a thing spoken, a spoken word. The Bible says that God's word will not return to him void, but it will accomplish that which he sent it to do. Now, you have to understand something. God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. But nowhere in the Bible does he teach us that we can't have his thoughts. In fact, he tells us we're supposed to have his mind. In fact, he tells us that we're transformed by the renewing of our mind. The Bible tells us that we're supposed to have the mind of Christ. And the way God's thoughts, way his thoughts are, is that he, when he speaks, what he's doing is he's sending his words out to do something. Out to accomplish something. When he says, let there be light, he expects light to come into existence. He expects his words to produce what he says. And we see that this is faith. We talked about this last week. Remember the centurion. The centurion, we'll look at that here in just a moment again. The centurion said, all you have to do is say the word. You don't have to come to my house. You don't have to come to where my servant is. All you have to do is speak the word. Say the word. Speak the rhema, say the word, and my servant will be healed. And so we've been talking about faith because faith is what overcomes the world. Now let me ask you this question. How do we get faith? By hearing by the word of God. We're going to look at that again this morning. Has anybody ever heard this from a parent, and have you grown up to be a parent and said this? When a child asks you, why? And your answer is, because I said so. Come on, right? Did any parents ever say that to you? You know, when you ask that really great question, why? And their answer back to you is, because I'm your dad and I said so. Or, I mean, I try to look up and find out who made that quote, and it just says mothers everywhere. That's what it says. I said, who came up with that incredible quote? And it just says mothers everywhere. That answer. But why, Mom? Because Mom said so. But here's the truth about it. When the enemy comes to you and you're believing God for his promise, or you're believing God for his spoken word, and the enemy says, how's that going to happen? Why do you believe that's going to take place? Why are you standing on that? All you got to do is look at him and say, because God said so. There's sometimes that's the only answer. Come on, can you say amen? And when God says something, it will not come back to him empty-handed. It will accomplish what he sent it to do. Number one on your handout, we are overcomers because we're born of God. And how do we overcome the world? Our faith. And so whatever is born of God overcomes the world. If I'm a child of God, I'm born of God, then I'm an overcomer. I can overcome the world. But it says that the victory over the world is our faith. So not only am I born of God, not only am I a child of God, but evidently if my faith overcomes the world, or our faith overcomes the world, it also has to have its origin in God. It's not something of my own natural ability. It's not a mental ascent. It's something that's of our heart, our spirit, that unseen being of our being, which the Bible says is more real than what we see. Because what we see, Paul said, we will eventually depart. He said, and Peter said, after my departure from what? This physical body. Paul said this way, to be absent of the body is to be present with the Lord. How can you be absent of something if the something that you're absent from is the real you? The real you lives in what we're looking at. Our heart, our spirit man. Number two, Romans chapter 10, verse 8. What does it say? The word is near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. The word, that rhema, that word there is the spoken word, the rhema, is near you. It's in your mouth, in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. Number two, the word. Last week, I think I had this worded different. I changed it. And I think I said faith. But that's not what's in your heart. What's in your heart, what goes into your heart is the word of God. And the word of God in your heart can give birth to faith. We're going to see that this morning. And the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal. That means they're not part of my natural man, but they're mighty through God. Come on, our weapons get their might and strength because they're not of our natural ability. Paul said, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. He said, I will boast in my weaknesses so that the power of God or Christ can rest upon me. In Ephesians chapter 6, it says, having done all to stand therefore, gird, put on the whole armor of God, and that you'll be withstand all the wiles, all the attacks of the enemy. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. What we're talking about is not natural. What we're talking about is something supernatural. How can Abraham and Sarah, after they tried naturally all those years to have a child, all of a sudden have a child without some supernatural power being involved? The Bible says that Abraham, against hope, believed in hope because he counted the one who promised able to perform his word. Faith. The Bible says that all things are possible to him that what? Believes. What we're talking about is something supernatural. What we're talking about this morning is something that can get down in your spirit and can begin to grow. And then it's in our heart, it's in our heart, our spirit, in our heart, but how does it come out? How do we draw out what's in our heart? How do we release that? It told us in Romans chapter 10. It says, with the man believes in his heart, but with his mouth he speaks, and confession is made. It's interesting. It's the exact same way God functions. We understand in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, that the worlds were framed, the worlds were created by the word of God. So that what we see was created by something that's unseen. God speaks, and it is. Can you say amen? Number two, the word is in your heart, your inward being, talking about your spirit. Number three, Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says this. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of God. Faith doesn't come by hearing. Faith is a product of the word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of God. So how do we get faith? Because it's something supernatural. We get it through God's word. Luke chapter 8, verse 11, Jesus taught a parable. And he said this about this parable. He said, if you don't understand this parable, how will you understand anything else? He said, if you don't get this, how will you get anything else? He said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, what a parable was, he said the sower goes out and he sows the seed. He casts the seed. And some of it falls on the wayside. Some of it falls on stony ground. And some of it falls on good soil. But then he begins to declare to them in Luke chapter 8, verse 11, he begins to explain to them this parable. He said, now this is the meaning of the parable. The seed that the sower was sowing, he says, is the word of God. The seed is the word of God. Now I said this last Sunday, I've taught this before, so if you heard me say it before, just bear with me, I need to say it again. If Jesus said the word is the seed, then we could say it this way, the seed is the word. Jesus said the seed is the word. We could say the word is the seed. Now I want to read it to you this way then. In Luke chapter 8, verse 11. Now this is the meaning of the parable. The word that I'm talking about, the word is the seed of God. His word is his seed. Now it's interesting. It is incredible, more than interesting, it's amazing that when God wants to do something special, he takes what's in him and releases it. He, in a sense, he takes him and releases it. In Genesis, it says that he formed man out of the dust of the ground and he what? Breathed into him. The breath of life. Something in God left and went into man. Isn't that incredible? And I was talking today, not the other day, and he was talking about one of the classes at Sockham, and he was talking about how Jesus, almost exactly, we see the first creation and Jesus in the second creation. He said, do you remember when Jesus, after he was crucified, after he was hung on the cross, he died, he was buried. Do you remember when he came back to his disciples? He said, do you remember what he did? Remember what he said to them? It says, he said, we see the Holy Spirit, and he did what? He breathed on them. Isn't that incredible? Kind of the same thing that happened in Genesis. See, God wants to do incredible things on the inside of you. And the way he's going to do it is he's going to have something that's him proceed out. Man shall not live by every bread, by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. This is the word of God is more than just what's written on this page. It's living. It's alive. It's powerful. That's why you don't ever hear me. I used to pray, Father, I just thank you this morning. I pray before we get in the word that your word will be powerful, that God, your word will go forth in power. I don't pray that his word is powerful. You know why? Because it's his word. I know it's powerful. And here's what I know. I know like seed, it's being sown in all of our hearts this morning as we hear it. And I also know that there's an enemy that wants to immediately come and not take the faith that you have on the inside of you, but take the word, it says. Because if he takes the word, he takes the seed. If there's no seed, there can be no fruit. But if there is a seed, that seed will produce after its what? Own kind. And where does this seed come from? From God. Can you say amen? It tells us in Peter. Look at this on your handout this morning. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. It says, you have been born again, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable. through the living and enduring Word of God. Again, we see the word seed being related to the word word, and we could say it this way, through the living and enduring seed of God, which is the Word of God. Now, that's out of two different witnesses. That's out of the Apostle Paul talking about the Word being the seed. That's out of Jesus' mouth, the Word being seed. It's out of Peter's mouth about the Word being the seed. So faith comes when we get the seed or the Word of God on the inside of us. Hearing it is how we receive it. Number three, faith is born of God in our hearts through the Word or seed of God. Faith is born, it's birthed in our heart. It's born of God, it's birth of God through the Word or the seed. Now, we looked at Luke chapter 7, and I've got so many things that's rolling over inside of me this morning, so it's going to be a good time. Luke 7:7. This is the story of the centurion. I remember the centurion, he's a Roman soldier. He's in the Roman army, and he's not just the beginning rank, but he's a centurion. That means that he's over at least 100 men. And he has a servant that's ill, and he sends Jewish friends of his, leaders, to Jesus to see if Jesus will heal his servant. And the Jewish leaders, the Jewish people go to him, and they beg Jesus, "Jesus, this man's a good man." See, he's not Jewish. "This man's a good man. In fact, he has built a synagogue. He's built a temple. He's built a place of worship for us. Please come." So Jesus is on his way. And on his way there, when he gets close to this man's dwelling, his house, his home, this man sends friends out. And they go to Jesus, and they tell Jesus, he wants you to know, he doesn't consider himself worthy for you to come to his house. In fact, he doesn't even consider himself worthy to come and say something to you. But this is what he said. He said that he is a man having authority, under authority. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and this one, come, and he comes, and this one, do it, and he does it. Notice what he said, I say to this one, go, and he goes, and this one, come, and he comes, and this one, do it, and he does it. And then he tells Jesus in verse 7 here, Luke 7:7, "Therefore neither do I count myself worthy to come to you, but say, one translation says, just speak a word, just say a word. This translation says this, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed." Jesus marveled at this, and he turned around and he said, "I have not found such great faith, no, not even in Israel." So Jesus identifies what is happening as faith. Jesus identifies that what this man is walking in is faith. And what the man said was, all you have to do is speak in a word. One translation says command. One translation says order. All you have to do is speak, and my servant will be healed. And the Bible says Jesus was astonished. He was amazed. He stopped and he turned around to everybody following him. He says, "I haven't found this kind of faith, no, not even Israel." By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. So what we see does not exist from what is seen. Now, how do we operate in that type of faith? It's something supernatural. It's not a product of us. We sang a song this morning. It said something about we're jars of clay or earthen jars. That's what we are. God has designed it. God has it's his plan to put this incredible deposit on the inside of earthen vessels so that the excellence of the power might be of God and not of us. So that people will say, "There's no way unless it was God in them. There's no way unless it was God in them." Come on. Now here we are, Thanksgiving. We're just a couple days away from Thanksgiving. Come on, that's good stuff. Amen. How many having turkey? Yeah, I raised my hand on that one. How many having steak? I raised my hand on that one too. Amen. We're doing both. I like that tradition. Come on. But Thanksgiving, and then right after Thanksgiving is Christmas. And I'm gonna look at a story that we would consider a Christmas story, but it's not a Christmas story. It's actually a story of faith. And does anybody remember what the word that we're looking at is? The word rhema, R-H-E-M-A, and what does it mean? Does anybody remember? It's at the top of your, it means what? A spoken word. Now go with me this morning to Luke chapter, well, look at Luke chapter 8 verse 15, then we're going to get into it. Luke chapter 8 verse 15. This is the end of Jesus' teaching about the parable of the word and the seed and the sowing. He said, on good ground, the seed that fell on good ground, the good ground are they who in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, we got to hear, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. They hear, they keep, and they bring forth. They hear, they keep, and they bring forth. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Okay? Now, let me just say this to you. We're going to see later on this morning that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth what? Speaks. And what Jesus is talking about there is he's talking about a good tree or bringing forth good treasure, bringing forth good fruit. He said out of a good heart, out of a good man brings forth good, brings forth. We see the word brings forth? Yes. Brings forth good. Out of an evil person brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So Jesus said, what's in your heart, how you bring it forth, is by what you say. Come on, right? And he also said this, if you want to make the tree good, if you want to make the fruit good, you got to make the tree good. Come on, right? So how do you change the tree? You change the tree, the transformation, you change the tree by changing what you're always thinking and feeding on, what you're always hearing. If you hear the wrong thing all the time, those are seeds being planted on the inside of you all the time. See, Jesus said this, the word can be a seed and the cares of this world can be a seed. Because the cares of this world can grow up along that plant and choke it off. So you have to protect what you see. Now let me just tell you something, that's harder to do today than it was when I was a kid. Because everything's at your fingertips. Come on, it is. It's easier now to get to things that you shouldn't get to than it was when we were kids. Come on, right? I mean, we don't have to get real explicit, but I mean, you used to have to go to a bookstore to get what you can get right now in your own home. In a shady part of town. Right? You used to get up in the morning, if you woke up 2 in the morning and you turn the television on, all you saw was a test pattern. And you would sit and wait for Bullwinkle, yeah, after the national anthem, Bullwinkle to come on. And if you didn't want to watch Bullwinkle, you could turn over and watch Good Morning America, where that guy was traveling in an RV or whatever it was all over the world showing us places I didn't want. So it's Bullwinkle. Come on, right? Now, 24/7. Thousands of channels. I enjoy sports, but I don't need 15 channels of people talking about sports all day long. I'm like, really? There's some people that watch that. You know, you watch ESPN long enough, you watch it again. And again and again. Today it's easier for that stuff to get on the inside of us. We have to really be on guard. But here's the thing. The enemy's not outdoing God. Because the truth of the matter is it's easier to get the Word of God on the inside of you than it was before. You go back, you listen to Brother Copeland. Brother Copeland used to talk about how he'd have to carry a bag of D-sized batteries. We don't even know what D-sized batteries are anymore. They're the big ones. Come on, right? He said, I carry a bag of D-sized batteries around in a tape recorder. And way back, it was reel-to-reel tape recorders. And he goes, I remember going out. He said, I remember going out in my garage and putting the tape in and listening to it over and over and over, and then going and preaching the message. Going, listening to Brother Hagin over and over, Oral Roberts over and over and over, and then going and preaching the message. Well, he'd have to buy that tape. He'd have to go to a meeting. He'd have to make the tape, buy the tape, get the tape, all those things. Now all we have to do is go to someone's website, go to Facebook. I mean, you can listen to this message again as soon as service is out. So it's not an excuse, because God's keeping up with the times. Can you say amen? See, those things can be either used for good or they can be used for evil. What they call television when it first came out? Hellavision? Hellavision? Well, see, the church always gets stupid sometimes when something like that comes out. I'm just going to be honest. The church is stupid sometimes. Because TBN is broadcasting into nations that we can't go in, but they're hearing the Word of God through hellavision. Come on, through television, can you say amen? We're not going to give that stuff up to the devil. Can you say amen? So, look at Luke chapter 1, verse 38. And Mary said, here's our Christmas story. Mary said in verse 38, behold the handmaiden of the Lord, behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to your word. That word right there is rhema, spoken word. And the angel departed from her. Go with me to Luke chapter 1 real quick. We're gonna look. If you got a Bible, you got a thing, you're gonna have to look at some scriptures, because I couldn't put all these scriptures on the handout, because you guys would be taking a book home. Luke 1:26. Verse 26 says, "Now in the sixth month of the angel, in the sixth month the angel Gabriel was sent." Notice what it says. It was sent. The angel was sent by God. I talked about being sent. When someone sends you, it's the same as the one going. You don't believe that? Get a check out, sign it, leave it blank, and send me to your bank. I bet I can get you your money. Just like if you went there. God sent the angel to a virgin, in verse 27, engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold," remember, he was sent by God, "and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" See, there's the natural. How can this be? It's impossible. And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is born," the Holy One who is what? Born, will be called the Son of God. "Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who is called barren." Who is called what? Barren. Notice something. In the natural world, Elizabeth, she was called barren. She can't have no children. My Bible says God calls those things that be not as though they were. Come on. Who is called barren? For with God nothing. Look at verse 37. "For with God nothing will be impossible." Then, after that lesson, Mary said, "How can this be? It's impossible." The angel said, "The Holy Spirit will overshadow you. The power of the Highest will come upon you. The Holy Spirit will come on you. His power will overshadow you." And then he goes on, and he taught her, he encouraged her faith. He said, "Listen, your relative, she's called barren, and she's now in her sixth month. Because with God all things are possible." Then, after Mary received that word, then Mary said, "Behold the maidservant of the Lord. let it be to me according to your rhema. And the angel departed from her. Let it be unto me according to your rhema. Look at Luke chapter 2, verse 19. In fact, what's interesting is that word spoken word rhema, it appears all over the Christmas story. It appears all over. We won't get into all the scriptures this morning, but it's all over. When the angels came and spoke to the shepherds, and the King James says that after they spoke to the shepherds went into the town, and they went into the town, and the King James says, so that they could declare all the things that they heard. The word things in the Greek should be translated word, because it's the word rhema. Instead, it's translated things. So the angels came to the shepherds, and the angels spoke a rhema to the shepherds. And the shepherds got up and went into town, and they literally says, we're going into town to see this word that came to pass. The King James says the things that came to pass, but that's not what the translation says. It says, we're going into town to see this word, this rhema that came to pass. That's faith. See, just like God spoke, let there be light, God spoke in the Christmas story into Mary's heart. How was Jesus conceived in a womb that knew no man? Because God spoke his word. She received his word, and she spoke, be it done unto me according to your word. It's powerful. There's three things I see that she does. Luke chapter 2, verse 19. Okay. Verse 15. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into the heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing. You see the word thing there? Should be rhema. And see this rhema that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying. The word saying there is the word rhema, spoken word. They made widely known the rhema which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it, heard what? The rhema marveled at these things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary, look at verse 19, Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her, where? Heart. Where is faith? It's in her heart. She kept all these things. It should not be translated things. It's the word rhema. So verse 19, but Mary kept all the rhema, the spoken word, kept them and pondered them in her heart. Now let me just tell you that Mary was a person of faith. Because after Jesus was born and they go into the temple, there's a man named Simeon there, who is a person of faith. He's an elderly man. He was there, and the Bible says that he was led by the Spirit that day to the temple. And when Mary and Joseph are bringing him in, he sees them. And they're bringing him in as the custom is to do, and he sees them, and he goes over there and engages them, and he actually holds the child. And he makes this statement. He said, Father, now your servant can go in peace according to your rhema, according to your word. See, God, by his Spirit, had promised Simeon that he would see the salvation before he passed. And then he spoke a word into Mary and Joseph's life. And it says that Mary kept that rhema in her heart. When Jesus was 12 years old, and they went to Jerusalem, and he stayed behind. They thought they was with some family members, and a couple days later, they find out he's not there, and they go back, and they find him in the temple talking with the religious leaders, and Jesus comes to him, and he says, why are you looking for me? Don't you know that I needed to be about my Father's business? It says they did not understand the word. It says Mary and Joseph did not understand the word that Jesus spoke to them. But it says Mary kept it in her heart. Mary, the first thing that Mary does, I see, is she kept the spoken word. The word keep there means to keep closely together. It means to remember. It means to treasure. This is one of your bullet points. Mary kept the word that was spoken to her. Where did she keep it? She kept it in her heart. She treasured it. She remembered it. She kept it closely guarded together. Let me tell you something. It's something to be treasured. God, when God speaks, whether in his word or speaks a word to you, it is very valuable. When God speaks a word to you, it's more valuable than anything that's in this world, because it has the ability to change this world. Come on, can you say amen? I remember when God, through my spiritual leader, spoke. He said, "You need to go to school, man." He said, "You need to go to school." I was ready to go out to California. I had my ticket, had everything. I'm going out there, man. I'm going to go out there and spread the gospel. There's no time for school, man. Jesus is coming back. Don't you remember 1988? 88 reasons why Jesus is coming back in 88? Yeah. I don't know. Someone should have came out with a book, 88 reasons why he didn't come. I remember telling Tom, I said, "Tom, I ain't got time, man. I got a job out there. I'm going to be in a van. I'm going to be taking this screen and this projector, all these high schools, and it's a Christian job, man. We get to share the gospel." He looked at me and he said, "I'm telling you right now," he said, "you need to be prepared. You need to go to school. This is time of preparation for you." And he told me, he said, "Listen," he said, "if God tells you to be in time of preparation and Jesus comes back when you're in time of preparation, you're being faithful. And that's how he'll judge you." And I looked at him and I said, "Man, it's impossible." I said, "You told me to go out there on Raymond's website. It's impossible. It's already past the time for me to get all my stuff in. It'd be a whole other year. So I'll go out to California and I'll do that thing and I'll come back and maybe I'll do that." He said, No, you wait. I'm making some phone calls." He made some phone calls. He got back to me and he said, It's not impossible. It's possible." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "All they said was send your stuff in. You're already accepted. See, going to school there." I go, "Oh, wow, okay." I had a couch given to me. This is, I'm going down there. I've got a couch given to me. And I've got clothes that will fit in my Ford Torino. That is it. I have no money saved up, nothing. In fact, the day I'm supposed to start school, I read the fine print, and they won't take a check. For deposit, it has to be cash. So I was going to write a check, a faith check, based on the deposit I would get from the job I started. I started working at 7-Eleven. Based upon the job that I'd be, that my first check, and I figured it would cross in the mail. Come on, anybody ever do that stuff back in the day? That don't happen no more, does it? Stuff comes out instantly. I'm sorry, that's not good. In fact, I had a faith check at Rain one time. Didn't go through. And that's how I found out there was two Dan Likers in the school at that time. Because I was three people behind the Dan Liker at the window. "That's not me. I look, my tuition's all paid up." I'm like, "Yeah, that's probably me, man." So I let them take the heat for a little bit, and they finally said, "Okay, you're not too..." I said, "I'm probably the Dan Liker you're looking for." They said, "There's two Dan Likers?" "Evidently." She said, "Well, your check was not good." I said, "Yeah." So here I am. I this is like 7 in the morning. I'm supposed to be at school. And I read, and I'm like, you have to have cash. I don't know what to do. Now, this is before cell phones. I don't even have a phone in my apartment yet. So I have to go to a convenience store, a 7-Eleven, to call my boss at another 7-Eleven. I'm standing at the outside phone. And I'm talking to this lady that has only known me for like 3 days. Her name was Carrie, and I'm asking her if there's any way she can give me an $800 advance cash. Yeah, that's and she said, "Come on over, I'll get it out of the safe." I had just enough time to grab it, get to school, get in line. But see, what did I have? I had a word that God said, "You need to go to school." And sometimes that's all you have to hold on is the word. Can you say amen? So Mary kept the word. The other thing that Mary did was she pondered the word. She pondered the word, the rhema. The word ponder means to bring together in one's mind, to confer with oneself. You have to rehearse that word. You have to speak that word to yourself. You have to roll it over in the inside of you. It talks about meditating day and night on the word of God. Then will your way be successful. It says Mary kept the word. She kept it close. She treasured it. And she pondered the word. She rolled it over on the inside. What was the angel? The angel said, I'm going to have a child. The angel said, it's going to be the Son of God. And can you believe it? I watched myself say, be it done unto me according to your word. Holy cow. She pondered it. She kept it. She pondered it. And the final thing I see that she did, again, we already read it in Luke chapter 2, verse 19, or Luke chapter 1, verse 38. Mary believed and spoke the spoken word. And that's the key. That's the key. Because with the heart, one believes. But with the mouth, one brings forth. She said, be it done unto me according to your word. Be it done unto me according to your word. Now, just real quick, and just wrapping up. It's interesting that in Genesis chapter 1, God spoke and light was. In Luke chapter 1, God spoke and Jesus was born. In John chapter 1, I think it's John chapter 1, verse 14 or verse 13, it says, and the word what? Became flesh. How did the word become flesh? Because the word was spoken into a woman's heart. She kept it. She pondered it. She believed it. And she released it and brought it forth by speaking it. And the Holy Spirit, she said, how's this going to be, man? Angel, how's this going to be? And he said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And the power of the highest will overshadow you. The Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, dwells in you. The Holy Spirit. Now, it's interesting that in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void. And the Holy Spirit, hold on. The Holy Spirit, what did the Holy Spirit do? Hovered over the earth, over the waters. And right after, there's the Holy Spirit, right after that verse says the Holy Spirit hovered over the waters. It says, then God said, let there be light, and light was. That's showing us something. That it's not our ability that brings something into existence, into this seen realm from the unseen realm. It's by His might. It's by His power. It's by His strength. But because He has to have the right in the world, that right, that authority, that legal right comes through those, Son of Man, we're in this world, but we're not of this world. Us being the Son of Man, it gives us the right to speak in this world. It gives us the authority. That's what we saw in Genesis, that God gave authority to Adam and Eve. Now here, it's the same as in Genesis, and it's the same as in Mary's life. It's the Holy Spirit hovering, or in Jeremiah it says this. It says, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. What came to him? The word of the Lord. And said, what do you see? He said, I see an almond branch that's just budding. He said, you see well, because I watch over my word to perform it. I watch over my word to perform it. So there's several ingredients there. In Genesis, it's the word of God and the Spirit, the power of God. Let there be light, light was. In Mary, it was the word that was spoken into her heart. She believed, she pondered, she kept it. She spoke it, she said, be done unto me according to your word. And it was the Holy Spirit that overpowered her. Come on. God's Spirit watches over His Word to perform it. But here's what has to happen. In order for those two ingredients to come together, that fruit has got to be brought forth from the inside of the Son of Man. And when that word, that rhema, comes from the inside of us, it's the Holy Spirit that watches over it to perform it. In fact, we see this in the early disciples' life. It says that they went everywhere preaching the gospel. They went everywhere preaching the gospel. It says the Lord was with them, working with them. He was working with them in that there were signs and wonders accompanying the word. So it's the word proclaimed, it's the word that's being spoken that releases the Holy Spirit to perform the word in this earth. Life and death are in the power of what we say. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Now, this is what's incredible. That word comes from God, gets in my heart, just like Mary. Out of my heart, that same word, that rhema, that spoken word of God can come out of my mouth and frame my world. If you want to change the fruit, change the tree. Amen. Come on. If you want to change what you're eating all the time, you got to watch what you're saying. But you can't just watch what you're saying. In order for it to change, you got to change what's on the inside of you. How does that change? It changes by the Word of God. Can you say amen? Father, we just thank you this morning for your incredible plan and purpose in our life. In your word, Father God, with you, all things are possible. All things are possible to him that believes. Father, we are natural beings, but we have a spirit on the inside that lives in this natural body. Sometimes, God, we're so conditioned to think the way the world thinks. We're so conditioned, Father God, to this natural realm. And your word tells us in Romans, do not be conformed. Do not be formed to this world. We should not be living like this world. Our life shouldn't be a representation of this world, God. I'm not talking just about sin, Father God. I'm talking about even not living in the supernatural, even not living in faith. But it says we can be transformed. Transformed by the renewing. By the renewing of our mind. God, we can conceive your word on the inside of us and change our life. Father, we just thank you this morning for what you're doing in each one of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. It says she kept, she pondered, and she brought forth the fruit. Can you say amen? Stand up with me this morning. All right. Jesus taught this, didn't he? Jesus said to what? Speak to the mountain. Right? Believe in your heart, and the mountain will what? Obey you. Can you say amen? So this morning, as you go and leave this place, I'm trying to see, I don't think Trey made it this morning. He was going to share about the ultimate worship, but he had a lot of stuff going on. Can we do this real quick? Can we pray for tonight's service of the Gloria, and then we'll dismiss you? Father, we just thank you right now. We come in agreement concerning the Gloria and the outreach tonight, Father, all the speakers and all the singers and all that's going on. Father, we just thank you that your favor, your grace, and your anointing will be upon it. All the kids are there. God, I thank you that their hearts will be open to receive your word. And God, I thank you that it will be a game changer in their life. We thank you for it. Father, we come against the spiritual wickedness in heavenly places that would try to keep the kids from getting there, keep them from coming. And Father, we just thank you that they will be there. They'll come from the north, the south, the east, and the west. And Father God, I thank you that we have the authority to bring a word that will change their life tonight in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it. And everybody said, amen. God bless you guys. Consider yourselves dismissed. We love each and every one of you. Enjoy your day. Don't forget this Wednesday night. Come out a little bit before 6:30, and we'll have a time of fellowship and food and an incredible beef stew and cornbread, and then we'll have a night of worship. We love each and every one of you. Have a wonderful, wonderful day.